Amen. What a tremendous song. Amen. Let's turn our Bibles, please, to Judges chapter 2. Judges chapter 2. The days of the judges. Well, I believe when we get through this morning, you'll understand that we're living in the days of the judges right now, once again. Judges chapter 2. And shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your precious word. I pray that the Holy Spirit of God would move in our hearts and lives today. We pray for our land that it would turn back to you. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Judges chapter 2 and verse 7. Judges 2, 7. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that what? Outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. So, verse 7, the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua. That is, those who had seen all the great works of the Lord. Verse 8, and Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old, and they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Eres, in Mount Ephraim, on the north side of the hill Gaash, and also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. And there arose another generation after them, which what? Knew not the Lord. There arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. My friends, that's where we're at today. There's a generation rising up that doesn't know the Lord. They don't know the works that God has done. They haven't had to fight the battles, and that's the issue. Every one of us need to get involved in the battle in some way. The Lord has called us to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And if we are not in the battle, you know what? We get lazy. It's like David. He wasn't in the battle. It was a time when the kings were supposed to go forth to battle, but he didn't go forth. And he was up walking on his rooftop that night. He saw Bathsheba washing herself. He inquired after her, and even after he knew she was another man's wife, he still called for her and sinned with her. And the heartache David went through in his life because of that. But it's important that the next generation get involved in the battle, because if you don't, you'll take so much for granted. And as we get lazy. That's why many times as parents, we don't always, as our children get older, we don't always buy them little bigger ticket items. Like maybe it's time for them to have a bicycle, but they can save up. They can earn some money and save up. And so we just don't buy that bicycle for them. We make them save and earn, because many times the things which are handed to us, we don't take care of like we ought to. And maybe later on, a gun. Those are some things in my life too that my parents didn't just go out and buy. I had to save up for a bicycle. I had to save up and buy my guns. And maybe later on, a computer. Maybe you tell your children, well, that is something you should save up to buy. And so we don't hand them everything. You know, I can stand up here and preach about the wrong music. I can preach about the danger of the translations today, gambling, alcohol, immorality. I can preach about so many things. But you know what? Unless people get involved in the battle for the Lord, they can sit and listen for years sometimes and still not sink in. Just like last night, I saw a man. I was going to say young man. Maybe he's still young. I don't know how old he is. But he's got hair that was on his shoulders. He had a long ponytail, and he kind of had it over here, and his hair was hanging right here. A young man that once sat under my preaching, and you know that. I've talked about long hair all the time. It's a shame for a man to have long hair. But it didn't sink in with him. I've had other young people admit to me that are now not quite as young as they used to be, that now they listen to rock music. Well, and they sat under my ministry for some years. And so, but you know what? In both of these cases, I'm giving you illustrations of neither one really got involved in the work of the Lord. They didn't get involved in the battle. And you know, sometimes people say, well, the Bible is such a boring book. Well, get involved in the battle, and you know what? You'll be searching for answers. And that's what keeps the Bible alive, because you're searching for something. So get in the battle. Get in the battle. There's so many things that could be done. You know, the job of the Secret Service is not just so the president has some company if he gets lonely. Well, that's supposed to be the president's wife's job. It's not good that the man be alone. That's his wife's job. Is her name Michelle? Okay. That's Michelle's job. Now, if Obama gets lonely, that it isn't the Secret Service's job. They're not paid to talk with the president. They're paid to protect him. And I was seeing a clip of when the president and his wife were, after the inauguration, were driving somewhere there in Washington, and the Secret Service agents were out there ahead. Secret Service agents don't look for good people. They look for bad people in the crowd. They're hoping the crowd is filled with good people, but they're looking for anyone that might be bad in the crowd. They're looking for someone in the crowd that looks nervous. I remember years ago, we went and toured the White House, and they had the Secret Service agents around there, and they were just staring at us, trying to figure out who looked out of place, trying to figure out who looked nervous in that line that might be trouble. And you know what? We have a nation filled, a world filled with preachers right now. Well, big smiley faces, the largest church in America, they call him Mr. Smiley Face, so the preacher Osteen there in Houston. You know what? But that is not the major emphasis that a preacher should be looking for, is just the good out there. A preacher is to warn his people. Notice with me in Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, you know what? A shepherd's main job is not just to look for friendly animals. Oh, there's a rabbit. Ah, isn't that nice? I think I'll go see if I can find some more rabbits. You know, rabbits don't bother the sheep. No, the shepherd has a keen eye for wolves. His job is to protect the sheep. Acts 20, verse 26. Acts 20:26. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you what? All the counsel of God. You know what? That is not the norm today. They withhold all the counsel of God because it offends people. Verse 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves, unto all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous, what? Wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. So he ceased not to warn them of the dangers. Sheep are so susceptible to danger, so susceptible. So we need to be on guard. We need to get involved in the battle. Notice back in Judges, well, actually, before we go there, let's go to 2 Timothy 2, and then we'll head to Judges. 2 Timothy 2, talking about the days of the judges, and I wanted to read this to you before we get back there. 2 Timothy 2, verse 2. 2 Timothy 2:2, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Therefore, what? Endure. That means the Christian life is not going to be easy. In the Christian life, not everyone is going to love us. In fact, many are not. It says, endure hardness as a good what? Soldier of Jesus Christ. We're soldiers. We're in a battle. We're in a battle. Those people who say, oh, the Christian life is just for weaklings. The Christian life is just for people who can't handle reality. Well, the opposite is true. The Christian life is only for those who can handle reality, and it's not easy. Verse 4, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please who? Him. Please God, who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if any man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive what? Lawfully. Now let's go back to Judges 21. Lawfully, we must strive lawfully. I want you to think about that. We must strive lawfully. Judges 21. The days of the judges were days where people were not striving lawfully. And my friends, it's the same today. People are not striving lawfully, not in the churches and not in this country. Judges 21, verse 25. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Every man did what? That which was right in his own eyes. In the days of the judges, everyone was doing that which was right in their own eyes. That is what's happening today all around us. All around us. You know, the people complain, oh, the Bible is filled with thou shalt not. Thou shalt not do this. Thou shalt not do that. Thou shalt not do this. I'm not going to read the Bible. I'm not going to become a Christian. The Christian life is nothing but thou shalt not. Well, you know what? Don't blame that on God. Blame that on man. God started out with one law and one law only. And it was in Genesis 2. Let's turn there. Genesis 2, there was only one law. God did not start out with the Ten Commandments. He didn't start out with the whole Old Testament law. He started out with one command. Genesis 2, 16. And his law started out first with what they could do. Genesis 2, 16, and the Lord God commanded a man, saying of what? Every tree. Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. He started out positive. Adam, every tree you can eat of. Verse 17, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. So, and that, sometimes people say, why did God have to do that? Because man had to have a choice. There's not real love unless you have a choice. You have to have a choice. God gave him a choice. He started out positive, not negative. So blame the multitude of laws upon man. Man's sin. Adam and Eve sin. Cain then killed his brother. Why is there laws? Thou shalt not kill. Because that's what man did. God didn't start out with all those laws. I began to think about this thought when I was recently looking in it's called the Michigan Penal Code Handbook. It's the 2005 edition. And I began looking at different things in it. And this is one I found in section 750.323. It says manslaughter. Death of quick child or mother from use of medicine or instrument. Well, that's interesting. Manslaughter, death of quick child. And I'll read on here. It says death of quick child or mother from use of medicine, etc., with intent to destroy such child, any person who shall administer to any woman pregnant with a quick child any medicine, drug, or substance whatever, or shall use or employ any instrument or other means with intent thereby to destroy such child, and it goes on, shall be guilty of manslaughter. I want you to notice, this is in the book in 2005, and I thought, this is amazing. Abortion was legalized by the Supreme Court in 1973. Of 2005 was 32 years later. That law is still in the penal book, handbook, the book of laws of the state of Michigan, over 30 years later. I want you to notice several things about what it says here. It says death of a quick child. You know, when the Bible says the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, quick means living. Sometimes in yesteryear, people would say, cut me down to the quick, where the blood is. In the state of Michigan, in our law book, it states that anyone who tries to destroy a child in the womb, it's an expecting mother who has a quick child. I want you to notice two things about our laws. It calls the child living because it calls it a quick child, and it calls it a child, not a fetus, not a blob of matter. The state of Michigan officially recognized that that child in the womb is a child, not a blob of matter. It is a child, and it is a living child. It's a quick child. And it's against the law to destroy that child by administering medicine or using any instrument to try to destroy that child. And of course, we would say it'd be more than manslaughter. We would say it's murder. But I'd say it's something, at least. And what amazed me is 32 years later, after the Supreme Court said abortion is legal, the state of Michigan was still saying, you know what? We still have this law in the books that you can't destroy a baby in the womb. And I thought, well, good for you, state of Michigan. And it just suddenly hit me. We are living in the days of the judges. Every man's doing that which is right in his own eyes. The Supreme Court, we are living in the days of the judges. The Supreme Court, and they have made themselves supreme over all other branches of the government. There are three. Well, before I get into that, I thought, okay, this handbook I'm using is the 2005 edition. And I thought, you know, things have gone even downhill further since 2005. I thought, could it be? Could that law still be on the books of the state of Michigan that abortion is killing a living child and is against the law? So I went online, and Radon, you can find it. It's www.legislature.mi.gov. And you know what I found? And on the bottom, that exact law is still there. And at the bottom of the page, it says 2009 copyright. As of 2009, the state of Michigan has refused to take that law off our books. And I say, praise God for them. Praise God for them. 36 years it's now been. 36 years after the Supreme Court, the judges of our land, said it's okay to murder your unborn baby. It's okay to murder babies in the womb. 36 years after that, the state of Michigan is still saying, well, according to our books, it's not legal. It's against the law. And I say, praise God. Praise God. Michigan still has it on the books. We are living in the days of the judges where people are doing whatever they want to do. What's the duty of a judge? You look it up. It means a public official whose duty it is to administer the law. Administer. Administer means to carry it out. The judges have no right, no authority to make their own laws. No authority whatsoever. Their job was to administer the law. There are three branches of government. The executive branch, of which the president. There's the legislative branch. The senators and congressmen, it's supposed to be their job to make laws. And then there's the judicial branch, whose job it was to administer the law. In other words, a criminal gets brought before the judge. The judge is to say, okay, the president or legislator has signed, made, enacted these laws, and according to these laws, sir, you have killed an unborn baby. You are guilty of this or that. The judges have no authority to say the law they just made is unconstitutional. I began to think, what a mess that we're in. No judge. The Supreme Court never had the authority in 1973 to say that man had the right to kill an unborn baby. And I wondered, when did this madness begin? When did we start living in the days of the judges? I found out it was 1803 in our country. In a court case called Marbury versus Madison. It's the first instance in which a law passed by Congress was declared unconstitutional. It says the decision greatly expanded the power of the court by establishing its right to overturn acts of Congress, a power not explicitly granted by the Constitution. In other words, in 1803, the Supreme Court took it upon themselves that they were going to declare a law unconstitutional, a power which they never had. They never were given the power to declare a law unconstitutional. They were only given the power to administer the laws that were made. And I began to think, why didn't somebody stand up back in that day? Thomas Jefferson was still alive. He didn't die till 1826. It was in 1803 when the Supreme Court took upon themselves a power which they did not have. John Adams was still alive. He didn't die till 1826 as well. I thought, why didn't these men stand up? But many of the generation had passed away, as we saw in the book of Judges here. Joshua died. The generation that saw his generation passed away. And every man began to do that which was right in his own eyes. Benjamin Franklin had died in 1790. I wonder if he would have been alive, if he would have said, hey, boys, no, you're not going to get away with that. You never were given that power. I wonder about Samuel Adams. He died in 1803. He died the very year the Supreme Court took upon themselves a power they didn't have. John Hancock died in 1793. He died ahead of time. He's the guy that probably has the most famous signature on the documents. You've probably seen his signature. John Penn died in 1788. He had passed away already. John Witherspoon had died in 1794. He had passed away. I wondered if some of those men were alive, if they would have stood up and said, wait a minute, boys, we're not going to start living in the days of the judges where every man's going to do that which is right in his own eyes, like we're exactly in today. I wonder if some of those men would have stood. So the issue of abortion in the state of Michigan, it's still officially against the law. In the state of Michigan, they don't officially do not call a child in the womb a fetus or a blob of matter. They call it a child. They call it a living child. And they say, the state of Michigan to this day says, it's against the law to kill that baby. So I began to look further. In the dictionary part of the back, I don't know what you want to call it, index, I looked for sodomy and I found it. I found the word. So I looked up the law. Page 671 in the 2005 edition, section 750.158. This was written by the legislature of the state of Michigan. I quote, any person who shall commit the abominable and detestable crime against nature, either with mankind or with any animal, shall be guilty of a felony. And the title of this is chapter 25. It says, crime against nature or sodomy. The penalty was for a person who had never been accused of an immoral crime before, they could get up to 15 years in prison for committing sodomy. But a previously immoral offender could be imprisoned for life for committing sodomy. I thought, wow, in 2005? Unbelievable. In the state of Michigan, it calls sodomy a crime against nature. It calls sodomy an abominable and detestable crime, which is guilty of a felony. I thought, wow, maybe this isn't such a bad state after all. Amen? Still on the books. Even though the Supreme Court has shot down Texas law and thereby across America saying, you can't have a law against sodomy. Well, I praise God for the state of Michigan that has shaken its fist and said, well, we do. It's a detestable and an abominable crime, and we call it a felony. And I thought, but this is the 2005 edition. Could it be in 2009? I mean, sodomites have come a long ways in the wrong direction since 2005. I thought, could it possibly be that the state of Michigan would dare to have that law still like that? I looked it up. Copyright at the bottom of the page, 2009, reads exactly the same way. State of Michigan says crime against nature or sodomy, any person who shall commit the abominable and detestable crime against nature, either with mankind or with any animal, shall be guilty of a felony. It reads exactly the same. And I thought, praise God. You know what? Look at Romans 1. Romans chapter 1. I thought, you know what? These boys are not ashamed of the Word of God. They're not ashamed of the Bible. That sounds a lot like Bible terminology. Romans 1, verse 21. Romans 1, 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, into birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to what? Uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto what? Vile affections. For even their women did change the what? Natural use into that which is what? Against nature. Let me read this from the Michigan Law Book. Crime against nature or sodomy. My friends, that's taken right out of the Bible. Even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the what? Natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is what? Unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. So the state of Michigan calls sodomy an abominable and detestable crime against nature, and it's a felony crime. Well, I would say, wow, I'm pretty impressed with these legislators. Pretty impressed. But I'm not too impressed with this day of the judges. Since 1803, the judges have ruled in America. Since that day where they first gave themselves the right to call a law unconstitutional. Well, we need to thank God for the Michigan legislators. And you know, then I thought, I wonder when they made that law. I wonder when that law was put into effect. And I found out it was on September 18th, 1931. September 18th, 1931 is when they made that law about sodomy. And so now it really got me thinking. In 1931, September 18th, the Michigan legislature realized there was a problem and there needed to be some laws made in regard to sodomy in 1931. I thought, what was going on? So I began to look. And the Great Depression started in 1929 and ended at different times, in some places in the 30s and some places in the 40s, the early 40s. But it hit, and as I began to read about the Depression, the same causes for the first Depression are happening right now. This financial crisis that's happening right now, it was exactly the basis of the first Depression. They listed the exact same things. And it hit all the country. It started here in America, just like this problem did. And it spread to all the countries of the world, exactly like it's doing right now. And it said, it started with the October 29th, 1929, known as Black Tuesday, when our stock market crashed and the markets of the world crashed, just like it has happened with this present crash that's happened. It said the end of the Depression in the U.S. was the beginning of World War II, and in here it began to turn around in 1939 when we began to gear up for war, the war machine. And in most of the countries, that's what stopped the Depression. Everybody got busy making things to fight Germany and to fight Japan. And it stated that's Germany. The depression hit Germany, and there was a void. And in some countries where that void hit, that was a place for Hitler to rise. And I'm thinking, you know what? That was kind of a precursor. And Satan had his man right there, Hitler. He had his man there who hated Jews. And in my study as well, I began to read what Brother Jerry told me. His son has done much research in Germany, and that Henry Ford was a very close friend of Hitler. And in my study about this week, I read that Hitler gave Henry Ford the highest German award he could because Henry Ford hated Jews. And Hitler hated Jews. And so Germany, Hitler awarded Henry Ford with that highest honor because they were of kindred spirits. And I thought, how must that have played out in World War II? We have, a huge automaker, a very wealthy man here with sympathy for Hitler. That must have been very interesting, to say the least. But, and I began to think, okay, wait a minute. The Depression hit in 1929. The Michigan legislators in 1931 outlaws sodomy, calling it a detestable crime. And I thought, in the midst of devastation, financial, just all these things are going through my mind. What moved them to make these laws? And then as I continued to study, and it said severe drought ravaged the agricultural heartland of the USA beginning in the summer of 1930, and then hit the Dust Bowl days. So you've got the Great Depression starting in 1929. You've got the Dust Bowl hitting in 1930. Drought. What's going through these legislators' minds? Financial collapse, food is scarce because of drought. It just hit me. Was it possible that the legislators of the state of Michigan were getting on their knees before Almighty God and saying, we're devastated financially. We're devastated now, our crops by drought. You know what? I think it's time to get on our knees before Almighty God and start making laws that please God, that start making our laws agree with God's laws. Interesting, in the very same session, they make abortion a crime. And they make sodomy a crime, a felony. They made sodomy a higher crime than abortion. They called abortion manslaughter, but sodomy they called a felony. And I thought, could it be that our legislators were bowing their knees before Almighty God, saying, God, our nation is in shambles. Financially, we're bankrupt. Our food, there's a drought upon us. And I began to wonder what was running through these people's minds. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. In fact, turn to me back in 2 Chronicles chapter 7. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. The more I began to read, the more I began to believe that, you know what? There were some people in the Michigan legislature, in the state legislature, that feared God. Because you know what? If you look, we know 2 Chronicles 7:14, but would you please look with me at 2 Chronicles 7:13? 2 Chronicles 7:13, if I shut up, where? Heaven, that there be no what? Rain. Or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and what? Turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. I believe I have no way to prove it, but I believe the legislator legislators of the state of Michigan. Some of them were God-fearing men and were reading their Bibles and saw that financially we were bankrupt and that the heaven was withholding the rain. And I believe they looked at 2 Chronicles 7:14, and I think they were thinking, you know what? We better start turning toward God. And they began to write laws that agree with God's law. Even though they were living in the days of the judges. Way back in 1803, the judges had taken upon themselves a supreme position, which they were never given. Now remember that law about abortion when it was enacted? September 18th, 1931. And then I thought about this law about sodomy. And I thought, I wonder when that was enacted. It was the exact same date. At the exact same time, they outlawed abortion and outlawed sodomy. And then I thought, just out of curiosity, I wonder, and I knew there were some laws about blasphemy. Because you can recall in Michigan, it wasn't that long ago, not too many years ago, that there was some blaspheming canoeist. And some officer wrote him up a citation. And guess who got the guy out of it? The judges. But you know what? This is what is on the books. This is Michigan Law 750.103. Cursing and swearing. Cursing and swearing, any person who has arrived at the age of discretion, who shall profanely curse or damn or swear by the name of God, Jesus Christ, or the Holy Ghost, shall be guilty of a misdemeanor. Well, I would say make it more than a misdemeanor. But what's interesting is they list all three persons of the Divine Trinity. They list it. This is in the official law book of the state of Michigan. You can't swear by the name of God, Jesus Christ, or the Holy Ghost. That is against the law officially. And you know when they enacted that law? September 18th, 1931. And as the evidence piled up, I thought, you know what? I believe the legislators in the state of Michigan, and of course prior, this is when they made these effective. All these laws became effective September 18th, 1931. And I believe there was a revival going forth in the legislators in the state of Michigan. I believe they were 2 Chronicles 7:13. I believe they were looking at the financial collapse, the drought, and they were looking to God. And they said, you know what, boys, it's time for us to start making our laws God's laws. Our ways to be God's ways. Our thoughts to be God's thoughts. Exodus 20, look there, Exodus 20, verse 7. Exodus 20, verse 7. You know what? Michigan could lead our country out of this mess in which we're in today, too. They could if they'd stand up. Oh, I wish someone would stand up and challenge. Someone would challenge and say, listen, let's go back to 1803. We're living in the days of the judges. Every man is doing that which is right in his own eyes. We're no longer... Our laws are, in many places, according to the Supreme Court anyway, our laws are not God's laws. We need to go back and get the Supreme Court back to their original place. They have no authority to call anything unconstitutional. Exodus 20, verse 7. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Well, to me, it sounded like a great legislator, a bunch of legislators in that day. Guess what else they enacted? I thought, just out of curiosity, if they were really wanting to get right with God, I wonder about something else. So I looked up Law 750.30, adultery. This is what they wrote. Any person who shall commit adultery shall be guilty of a felony. And when the crime is committed between a married woman and a man who is unmarried, the man shall be guilty of adultery and liable to the same punishment. I thought, I wonder when that law was enacted. And guess when? September 18th, 1931. Don't tell me there wasn't a revival taking place. In one swoop, they outlawed abortion. In one swoop, they outlawed sodomy. In one swoop, they outlawed blaspheming or cursing God's name. In one swoop, they outlawed adultery. Don't tell me it wasn't a group of men who were seeking God's face and wanted to get right with God. I thought, wow, that's all in one. Do you realize if a bill like that came up right now, what the news media would do with it? Just one of those points. Can you imagine trying to pass a bill in our nation with all of those that makes abortion a crime? That makes sodomy a felony crime? That makes using God's name in vain a crime? That makes adultery a felony crime? Do you realize what the news media would do with that today? They would say, oh, you're trying to get us back in the dark ages. You know what? The legislators of the state of Michigan in 1931 realized we were in the dark ages. And we needed God. And they did something about it. And then I began to read other things, and I'll just mention some of these things here. You know what the problem is man shakes his fist at God. I began to read about other things. Prohibition. Prohibition was when liquor was outlawed in America, and that started in 1919. You've heard the 20s are called the Roaring 20s in America. Well, in 1919 is when liquor was outlawed, and it was not repealed, that amendment, until 1933. And so think about it. The 20s are right in between there. Liquor was outlawed, and yet the 20s are known as gangsters and drinking. It's just like in the book of Revelation. God is sending down judgments, and what are they doing? They're shaking their fists at him. The Bible says in those days they'll not repent of their fornication, of their stealing, of their blaspheming God's name. They'll not repent of any of that. And so that was going on. As I mentioned, the Great Depression was 1929 to 1939. Interesting what Michigan, the state of Michigan, outlaws during those days. The Dust Bowl went from 1930 to 1936. Remember, the Great Depression was from 29 to the late 30s or early 40s, so the Dust Bowl encompassed a good portion of the Depression days. Bonnie and Clyde fit right in there. Their names was mentioned. 1931 to 34 were their heydays, as you were, their day of infamy, until they were finally gunned down. Bonnie and Clyde. And then I began to read other things. I thought I had that paper. Yes, I do. I do have it with me. I thought, what happened in 1931 that the state of Michigan would feel they needed to outlaw abortion? I thought that was a more modern issue. You know, this whole feminist, which is a misnomer, because this whole feminist movement is not feminine. It's masculine. It's women wanting to be men. It's women wanting men's jobs. It's women wanting to look like men. It really wasn't feminine at all, but that's what they call it, the feminist movement. But what I found is that in 1928, in 1929, you can find this... Well, it's at ehistory.osu.edu, but there was Margaret Sanger, and I didn't have time to check, but it seems like Margaret Sanger was one of these early leaders that led up to Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood is nothing more than a front for abortion. Planned Parenthood is nothing more than a front to pull kids away from their own parents and have their children get involved in immorality and then try to destroy the child because of it. In 1928, Margaret Sanger began to write about women being released from the bondage of motherhood. And so in her article, she lists all these different ways of trying to relieve a woman from having to have children, but still being immoral. And that was her goal. Then another lady, Ella Dearborn, was writing about the same topic in 1928. And then a man in another periodical, Samuel Schmalhausen, was talking about that. His article was printed in 1928. All three, two women and one man, were writing articles about, you'd think they were writing in the 60s. The 60s is known as free love, free immorality, no restraints. Well, these people were writing in the 1920s. Their works were being published in 1928. And you know what I believe the Michigan legislature saw? Because part of the whole situation about when you don't want babies, their abortion comes up, killing the baby, and then medicines and other things to try to prevent becoming expectant in the first place. And so, you know what? In the 1920s, the roaring 20s, it was against the law in America to drink liquor, to make it, to sell it. But there were these vile people rising up. They wanted their liquor, they wanted their immorality. But the Michigan legislators rose up in the midst of all that and said, we're turning back to God. We're making it officially against the law to have an abortion. We're making it officially against the law to be a sodomite. We're making it officially against the law to blaspheme God's name. We're making it against the law to commit adultery, because this last man in his article, that's what he felt. He felt you ought to be able to go out and commit immorality with anyone you want. Our legislators responded back and made laws which agreed with God's laws, and for the most part. We're living in the days of the judges. In closing, let's turn to Ezekiel 18. Ezekiel 18. Will it happen again? That's the question. Will it happen again? Will anyone dare to rise up? Well, I'm encouraged. Let me say this. I'm encouraged that the state of Michigan, despite living in the days of the judges since 1803, I'm encouraged that the state of Michigan has refused to take those laws out of their books. That encourages me. I mean, that's like shaking the fist at the Supreme Court of the United States, saying, boys, you took upon yourselves more power than you had. You had no right to do that. And we, as a state, still maintain it's against the law. Ezekiel 18. Verse 30. Therefore, I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, saith the Lord God. Repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your what? Ruin. That's the answer for America. You do some research. The first depression, it was the exact same causes for the first one as plunged us where we are right now. The same vile sins were rising up that are rising up right now. And the Michigan legislators rose up and said, we're humbling ourselves before Almighty God. We're making laws that agree with His laws. What will happen if America doesn't do that? Well, you know what? Maybe in the background there's another Hitler who hates Jews. Only this time, maybe it's time. Maybe it is the Antichrist this time that's being prepped right now. Yesterday when we were out witnessing, I handed a man the tattoo track. And he says, I don't agree with tattoos. He says, I don't want this. And I says, well, we don't agree with them either. That's what this is all about. Time is running out. We had a couple guys here this week showing, displaying an LED sign, showing us what it could do. And I gave them both the tracks, the tattoo tracks. And the one guy began to read it. And he said, and he read the part in that track that says, you know, this may be preparing the world to take the mark of the beast. And he says, you know, I never thought about that. But he said, you know, it really could be. This could be it. My friends, it's time to get involved in the battle. It's time to get involved. It's time to turn this nation back to repentance. The Michigan legislators, I believe, were trying to do that in the state of Michigan in the midst of the very same atmosphere. And God spared our land. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. I pray you'd please work in our hearts. Help us, Lord, to repent. Help our nation to repent. Help our legislators and our elected officials. Lord, we pray for the judges. We see that it's no different than the days of the judges. Every man's doing that which is right in his own eyes, thanks to the Supreme Court, taking upon themselves a power which they never had. And so we're living in the days of the judges, and the judges let every man do that which is right in his own eyes. Abortion, oh yes, you can kill your unborn baby. Sodomy, oh yes. You have the right to be vile and wicked. Adultery, oh yes, we'll make it easy for you to get a divorce. Blasphemy, oh yes, you can blaspheme God's name. Just don't blaspheme some idol, but yes, yes. Blaspheme God's name all you want. That's okay, say the judges. Lord, help us realize it's not okay. For we will stand before you, the judge of all the earth, one day. Lord, may our lives agree with your laws. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.